Ne pasa, pano, do su mosu.
Oh, is that butter tea? I would love to drink a cup of that, yes. Thank you. Mm. Suddenly I become dizzy and drift off. Woken up by someone calling.
Billy!
It takes me a while to orientate. At first, it's completely dark. Then I make out coats in front of me. I'm sitting in a kind of wardrobe. Carefully opening the door, I see a living room-like space. A little boy is sitting on the couch close by, playing with a pocket puzzle. Two teenage girls walk in.
Here you are.
Where's Mother? I'm hungry.
She had to go to the wall of the city.
You're sending me away, you and Mother.
I'm going away, too. I'm going to live with my friend Shia, and I'll have to work hard at my studies. All of us have to go and live somewhere else someday.
But I don't want to go!
You have to, Button. You're 5. You're a big boy now. A man will come for you, and he'll take care of you. You'll go outside and meet other boys and learn lots of new things from them. You'll be with your own kind. You'll like it a lot more than here.
Why don't girls have to go?
Because this is our home. And sometimes girls have to go too if they're very bad.
You're lying, Liza.
The boy runs into another room. I'm wondering what is going on here. Little boys are sent out of their homes? I look at the girls, who sit down on the couch.
I feel sorry for him.
You shouldn't. It's right that men are not allowed to live with us. They might be threatening our world once again.
But I can't believe that they're all aggressive.
Look, it doesn't really change things. Whether or not men can behave ethically or peacefully isn't the point. The point is that they use their power, the power women gave them, to destroy the world, and can't ever be allowed to do that again.
At first, I cannot believe what I hear. I realize I have been somehow catapulted into a possible future. Apparently, it is a future after a war or some other catastrophe. Is this a future where women and men are living apart? The door slides open, and the girls leave the apartment. I crawl out of my hiding place and look around. A red light on the wall has lit up. Then, I hear the voice of a man from the speaker attached to it.
My lady, you've ordered me to come to your enclave and here I am. I've enjoyed much of my long trip, but I managed to come in time.
I press the red button. Suddenly, a large projection appears. It shows a blonde bearded man and a younger beardless one lying unconscious on beds.
Hey, what are you doing there?
I turn around and realize that one of the girls has returned.
Oh, hi. I'm Matilda.
Oh, you must be my new mentor.
While we shake hands, I try to think of something appropriate to say, but nothing comes to mind.
I have some questions for you.
The girl suddenly sees the image on the screen behind me. She looks bewildered.
Oh, look at those hairy creatures. Those are men, aren't they?
Yes, looks like it to me.
We both look at the screen. The men wear helmets on their heads with attached thin wires that encircle their naked bodies. Tubes are attached to their members. The penis of the tall man stiffens and flexes the tube. His mouth twitches, and saliva trickles into his blonde beard. What can this mean?
Do you know that there was a time when women and men lived together?
Yeah, I know. Long ago. Nobody speaks of that time, though.
Do you know what happened?
Roughly, but we can look it up.
Long ago, women gave men the power over life that women had held since the beginning of human history. Then men used this power for evil, and the world became devastated and poisoned in ancient times by the weapons men controlled. The conflagration came, and after it, the long winter. Only scattered communities in isolated places survived, living for ages in underground shelters, because life above ground was not possible. Earth refused to yield crops. Animals sickened and died. And humanity's damaged genes produced monsters. Below ground, life went on in a fashion. Gradually, Earth began to heal itself. And in time, it became necessary for some to venture above ground. Younger men were sent outside along with women who could not bear children. The women who remained behind had to teach their children while doing much of the work of the community. As they gained more control of the biological sciences, they learned how to identify which men had sustained the least damage to their genes and how to distinguish them from others. To love one man and to bear only his children because of that love was a luxury these societies could not afford. Women regained their ability to bear healthy young, and those who did so ruled. Perhaps those early men who returned to the shelters infrequently to donate their sperm for artificial insemination, and who brought news of the healing earth, still believed that they would regain their power, that over time their lives would be as they were before. Perhaps guilt-ridden over what men had caused, they were content to let women take over responsibility. Or maybe they welcomed their life of hunting and roaming and adapted to it readily because it was the life to which they were best suited. Anyhow, the pattern had been fixed.
Now I understand.
I realize that I am witnessing life in a society that bears certain aspects of a matriarchal society. But in this future system, civilization has been preserved at the cost of depriving all men of it. Looking at Laysa being sad for her brother, I realize that women also pay a price, for they are also bound to the fixed patterns as their survival depends on them.
Hey, do you want to see the place I'm moving to?
Yes, please. Show me. We leave the flat that is in a tall glass building overlooking a city with lots of green spaces. Taking the elevator down, it suddenly seems to accelerate. I feel dizzy, expecting to crash. Then everything goes black. I open my eyes and find myself under some kind of bridge in a wasteland. At first, I cannot see anyone. Where is the voice coming from? Suddenly, a woman materializes against the brick wall. She has silver hair and white skin. Her eyes are also silver, almost unnatural.
It came to me several months ago that I might find my other selves out there, in the great gray might have been. So I undertook, for reasons partly personal and partly political, to get hold of the three of you.
You mean I am your other self?
You are one of my other selves. Genetic patterns sometimes repeat themselves from a possible present universe to a possible future universe. I manipulate you all to travel through time in order to complete my mission.
What mission?
The war!
What war?
The war between them and us.
But who, for heaven's sake, are they? Do you expect me to find out by telepathy?
Oh, I thought you knew. When I say them, I mean the two sides of humanity. There are always two sides, aren't there?
You mean men and women?
I thought you were smarter.
What do you want from me?
This is on your world. We want raw materials if you've got them. We want places to recuperate and places to hide an army. We want places to store our machines. And above all, we want bases that the other side doesn't know about. You will act as an unofficial ambassador.
But...
is it yes or is it no? Are we in business?
Business? Should I take part in a permanent war between men and women? Before I can answer, I hear a loud squeaking noise.
Watch out!
The woman tries to push me aside. Too late. I feel something hitting me. When I open my eyes, I find myself in a softly lit place. A man with a kind, handsome face is bending over me.
There's a large cut on her head. Can you pass me that white healing plasma over there? I think she's waking up.
I close my eyes again, and suddenly I hear a sound from a desk with lots of strange lights blinking.
Come in, come in. Spaceship VF-5463. Do you hear me?
Derry? We've finally got news from Mr. I, our investigator on planet Winter.
Mr. I, we can hear you loud and clearly.
Well, everything is okay here. It's been a long time. How soon can we land here on Winter?
Let me see. Well, anywhere between 8 days and half a month, depending on where we are in the solar orbit in relation to Geethan.
No sooner?
No sooner. The Nephil motive can't be used within a solar system. The ship can only enter on rocket drive, which puts it at least 8 days away from you. Why?
Well, because the Gnathians need to see more of us as proof that what I tell them about Earth and our telepathy is real.
Okay, well, we'll start landing as soon as possible. Send me the exact coordinate. Alright, let's see. What information does he have for us?
Through one half-open eye, I see him step up on a platform, and instantly a three-dimensional image lights up.
From the field notes of I. Nahash, investigator of the first landing party on Geethan, known to us as Planet Winter. 1448 day 81. It seems likely that the androgynous people on planet Winter were an experiment. Will anything else explain the sexual physiology of the Geethians? Did genetic change happen by accident? Possibly. And was it a process of natural selection? Hardly. Geethians are most of the time sexually inactive. Once a month, they enter a state in which a very strong sexual impulse is controlling their entire personality. When the individual finds a partner in this time, hormonal secretion is stimulated until in one partner, either a male or female hormonal dominance is established. The genitals enlarge or shrink accordingly, and both partner take on their sexual roles. Normal individuals do not know whether they will be the male or the female, and have no choice in the matter. Then, sexual drive and capacity are coming to a maximum before ending abruptly. If conception has not taken place, the individual returns to its androgynous form within a few hours, and the cycle begins anew. If the individual was in the female role and became pregnant, hormonal activity continues. This individual remains female during pregnancy and breastfeeding. No physiological habit is ever established, and the mother of several children may be the father of several more.
We will land in 10 minutes. I'm just hoping you can hang in there for 8 days.
The first consideration. On this planet, there is no sex without consent, no rape. As with most mammal other than man, coitus can be performed only by mutual invitation and consent. Otherwise, it is not possible.
Okay, countdown starts in 1 minute.
Consideration 2. On this planet, there is no division of humanity into strong and weak halves, protective and protected, dominant and submissive, owner and chattel, active and passive. In fact, the whole tendency to dualism that pervades human thinking does not exist on Winter.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
It's amazing. I don't feel the ship landing. Suddenly, I feel a freezing cold breeze coming in. And when I open my eyes, I see that part of the wall left of me has vanished, as if it was a door. I can see people. The Githians? They're standing in a completely white, frozen landscape. They look somewhat strange to me. Tall, slender, with clear, open, and beautiful faces. But their faces are not a man's and not a woman's. They seem to have human faces.
Hey, the girl's waking up. I think it's better for her to rest a bit more. I'll give her an injection.
Then everything turns black again. I slowly awaken from a slumber as deep as death, as refreshing as that of a child. It's like rising up through a deep, warm ocean, nearer and nearer to daylight and a breeze. I look around me. The landscape is like a park. There are children playing, and several women in beautiful dresses are working in what seems like a garden, with a lovely fragrance. One of them looks up and approaches me.
Ah, finally you're feeling better. We found you in the woods, close to the river.
I look at her, puzzled. She seems to be reading my mind.
My name is Zava. Those women over there are my sisters. I knew that you would be visiting her land.
Her land?
We are a country of women.
The woman stretches out her hand. I cannot believe what she's telling me. You have no men here?
Not anymore.
But what about the children?
Oh, yes. Of course you are puzzled. We are mothers. Each and every one of us. There are no fathers here.
How is that possible?
I believe some insects have a similar reproduction process. Parthenogenesis, or virgin birth.
But how can that be? She leads me to a shady place where, on one side, we look out over a stretch of open country, rich and lovely. On the other side is the garden, with tables scattered here and there.
After a great catastrophe, our ancestors were left without men. For 5 or 10 years, the women who'd remained worked together, growing stronger and wiser. Then there was a miracle. One of the young women bore a child. Of course, they all thought a man must have been involved, but none was found. They decided it had to have been a gift from the gods, and placed the proud mother in the temple of Maya, their goddess of motherhood. And there, as the years passed, this wonder woman bore child after child, 5 of them, all girls.
I imagine how those 5 daughters of Maya, children of the temple, become mothers of the future, the whole nation of women, surrounding them with loving service and waiting between boundless hope and equally boundless despair to see if they, too, would become mothers. And apparently, they did. So, you're all related?
Yes. We are all sisters. And we grew together. Not by competition, but by united action. We have no wars, no kings, no priests, no aristocracies.
We come to a beautiful building. What is that?
A temple. Let me show you.
That smells nice. Is that woman over there cooking?
Yes, that's one of her tasks.
So this is not a temple, but a restaurant.
No, she's waiting here until someone needs her. There's always a wise woman here, ready to give comfort and advice to anybody coming here seeking help.
We walk towards the woman. So is this also the place where you worship your gods?
Worship? What is worship?
I find it difficult to explain. The divine that seems to be of importance here does not seem to ask anything of them. But surely your mothers expect honor, reverence, obedience from you. You have to do things for your mothers, surely.
Oh, no, we don't have to do things for our mothers. They don't need that. But we do have to live on splendidly because of them. That's how we feel about our goddess.
I think of that god of battles of ours, that jealous god, that vengeance is mine god. I think of our world, heaven, hell. You have no theory of eternal punishment then, I suppose. The woman laughs. Her eyes are as bright as stars, and there are tears in them, too. She looks as if she is very sorry for me.
Would you like to join us for lunch?
I would love to, but what are you cooking?
Fruit stew.
The old woman hands me a dish of beautiful colored, strange-shaped objects in a silvery, shimmering sauce. Carefully, I taste the food. Oh, it's delicious. I suddenly feel sleepy again.
Maybe you should lie down and rest a little.
She leads me to a small room inside the temple with a perfect bed. Long, broad, smooth, firmly soft with the finest linen, and some warm light quilt or blanket that is a joy to the eye. I lay down and feel as light and clean as a white feather.
Don't forget us.
I wake up and find myself in the wooden Mosu house again. But the fire has gone out, and it seems much brighter than before. Where are the Mosu people?
The Mosu live in a so-called Hausa-based society. When you speak about a Mosuwa Hausa, you refer to the family clan living in it. The house you see here is the large communal space called the Zumu. A typical Mosuwa household consists of 3 to 4 generations of blood relatives traced through the mother. From the women of the second generation, one is chosen as the matriarch. She is the head of the household.
I walk out into a wide space and realize it's an exhibition space.
Unlike us, Mosuwa adults do not get married. Most Mosuwa practice a system named walking marriage. Each partner works and lives in his or her own mother's house during the day, and in the evening, the man stays with the woman as an overnight visitor, leaving early the next morning. The children live with their mother and her family. Men help in the care of bringing up his sister's children in his role as uncle. The advantages of this social structure are easy to understand. Men and women are free to choose their partner freely and solely on romantic grounds. If they split up, it does not impact their daily lives. Families are not broken up as a consequence of divorce. As the most families are large, all share the household task, so nobody has to fit into fixed roles for which he or she is not suited.
Oh, hey, buongiorno, Matilda! The more I speak about Mosuro, the more I become interested in matriarchal culture.
Yes, it seems this system is really attractive for both sexes. And I can assure you that there are other, maybe sometimes less satisfying, alternatives to patriarchal society.
Oh, I'm very curious to hear about that. Excuse me, it's my wife. Dinner's ready, mannaccia. I have to go.
And this is how, at the end of my involuntary time travels, I learn that there is still a long way to go for all of us.